Good morning. Good to have Miss Ann here playing the organ this morning to get us started. Appreciate y'all so much and glad that you're here. Miss Karen playing for our choir, Monica on the bass. So we're blessed. Have Scotty working the sound this morning and Will up on high working our computer screen and all that. So it's a blessing. Joel and Warren are out today. They were involved in the wedding of one of our young ladies. Hunter Lane was married in South Alabama down in Fairhope at the Grand Hotel. And Warren just happened to time it perfectly with a conference he was going to with Scott Dawson Evangelistic Ministries, and both in the same place. So that was pretty smooth for him. But pray for them as they head back to Guntersville. And we're excited to have the time of worship today. So let's pray. Father, Lord, we glorify you and we thank you that you're working in our lives and the life of our church. And just help us, Lord, as we follow you to keep our eyes on you and do the work that you've called us to do. I pray your blessings on each person, maybe some in our church family that are struggling physically, that you would strengthen them. Those that are in need of comfort, that you would be close and bring peace and comfort in their lives. Lord, many other things going on in folks' lives, that you'll help them in whatever they're facing to do it, Lord, with their eyes on you and following your direction. I pray that you'll bless now as we sing, as we glorify you today in worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There is room for more, so trust and obey and follow the Lord. Let's bring glory to his name as we sing Down at the Cross. It's hymn number 493. Stand up and praise the Lord with us.
Oh,
Amen. That's some wonderful singing. So right now, we want to take a minute and welcome our guests and say hello to our neighbors and friends that we love, church family. So let everybody know you're glad to see them in the Lord's house.
I receive my sight, and now
some good singing today. Thank y'all. We're going to sing our offertory hymn. It's 503 in the hymn book. One of my favorite testimony songs since Jesus came into my heart. So we're going to remain seated on the first two stanzas and stand on the last so we can prepare to take up our morning offering. So get ready and let's sing and pour out our praise to the Lord.
What a wonderful change in my life has been brought since Jesus came into my heart. I am mine in my soul, for it's all God has sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Joy, oh my soul, like the singing of song. Since Jesus came into my heart, I have ceased from my wandering and going astray. Since Jesus came into my heart, and my sins which were buried
Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts, just thanking you for all the blessings you've given to us. And we come this morning just asking your guidance and your watch care over all of our soldiers that are fighting today. We just pray that you be with those and keep them out of harm's way. We just pray for our church as we move forward. We just pray that you would be with us in the decisions that we make. And dear Heavenly Father, we just pray now as we come to this part of the service when we can give back just a little bit of what you've so graciously given to each of us. We pray that we use these tithes and offerings to the furtherance of your kingdom. For these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood, and what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I know the effort of tomorrow has ordered my steps. So this is my story, and this is my song. Praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He'll never fail. Trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He'll never fail. Sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He'll never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He'll never fail. Trust in God. I trust.
He will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God.
Amen. Thank you, Ken. Thank you, everyone who has been involved in the music this morning. You've been a really blessing to our hearts. I would like for you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. As we look at the words of the Apostle Paul, we turn our hearts to the inspired Word of God. And the Scripture tells us in this Scripture, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's encouraging us to give thanks always. And Ken, I appreciate the way that you prepare our hearts for worship. Unless you're here really early in the morning, you don't realize the work that Ken puts together, all of the service and coordinates and makes sure everything is happening, not counting all the rehearsal times in the times leading up to a service. But this morning, we are looking at the subject of gratitude toward God. In this brief and powerful verse, Paul calls on us to a life marked by gratitude. That is one of the things that he was saying that we as Christians should exhibit, and that is gratitude. Not just an occasional thankfulness when something great happens to us or to our family that we are rejoicing in. And certainly there are times to rejoice, and there are times to just be overwhelmingly grateful for what God is doing in our lives. But Paul was saying that this is something that should be continual. It should be an all-encompassing attitude of praise directed at our Heavenly Father. In a world that often encourages us to look at what we don't have, all you got to do is turn on any television program and look at any of the ads, and they will be impressing upon you what you don't have. And if you only had this particular thing that they are promoting, you will be happy. And yet, the very opposite is from God's Word, because we are to be focusing on the Scripture, which gently reminds us to center our lives on gratitude. So let us meditate for a few moments this morning of giving thanks and explore how thankfulness transforms us even in times of adversity, and consider how we can cultivate hearts of gratitude in our everyday lives. And so the Lord first of all gives the command through his Scripture that the biblical command is to give thanks. And first of all, we consider that gratitude is not just a mere suggestion that is hidden in the between the pages in Scripture, but it is a command from our loving God. Because you see, God loves us so much that he wants us to be happy. And just to be happy, we need to be thankful. And that is always to give thanks and for all things. And why is this significant in our lives? Because God is the source of every good and perfect gift. James said that plainly in Scripture, that he is the author of every good and perfect gift, which is from above It is from the Father who is in heaven. And so he gives us these wonderful gifts, not only in a physical sense, but more importantly, in a spiritual sense. And so throughout Scripture, we see the call to thankfulness. It is echoed again and again. Gratitude is central to the life of faith. And it's not only in a response to a visible blessing, something that happened to you, maybe a new car shows up in your driveway or something significant happens in your family. It's not the visible things necessarily, but it's the inward things that come to us through the Spirit of Christ. Just notice gratitude is central to our time with the Lord. Not only a response to things that people see in our lives, but also it is rooted in trust and humility before God. Now, one illustration of this is Daniel in the Old Testament. You remember they were taken into captivity, and Daniel was part of those that were taken away, and he was chosen as a place of leadership. And the old king said, you got to bow down and worship me. And so Daniel and his friends said, we're not going to do that. We're going to worship the true and living God. And so Daniel continued to pray, and he never ceased to give thanks to God. And it caused him adversity, but God was with him through that adversity. And so he did not look at his circumstances, but he was looking in the unwavering trust in God's sovereignty and his goodness. Like Daniel, we are invited to make gratitude our daily practice because of our relationship with God. The hymns this morning that we have sung talk about our relationship with God and being saved and how that brings joy into our hearts and into our lives. And so thankfulness acknowledges his authority. It affirms our trust in his plan for our lives. And it also deepens our faith. And so there's not only the biblical command to give thanks, but also giving thanks in adversity. And so sometimes things happen in our lives that causes adversity. And moments of difficulty or maybe long-term trials in our lives. And so giving thanks in adversity is something that we should work to do. Because sometimes I've seen families that go through adversity and they turn away from the Lord. And they just go a different direction. Say, well, if God's not going to take this away from me, if God's not going to do this, then I'll just quit serving him. They may not say that out loud. They may not say that to the pastor. But in their lives, their actions shows that their faith is wavering. And so the scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we're told, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. You may be saying, I want to see what God's will for my life is. Brother Joel mentioned that last week about people who come to him and say, tell me what God's will is for my life. And Joel would point them to the scripture and ask them to search for God's will. We're here in 1 Thessalonians. Paul is saying that one thing that is definitely in God's will is for us to give thanks. In everything, give thanks through Jesus Christ concerning you. And so the words give thanks always for all things include the times when life is difficult, when life is confusing, or when it's actually painful. It's not an easy road being a Christian, but it's possible by the power of the Holy Spirit to give thanks even in the difficult times. You know, thankfulness in adversity does not deny that we suffer pain. It does not deny that we suffer hardships. But rather, it chooses to see God's hand at work even in the storm. Remember the story of Jesus in the boat with the disciples. And he's back there sleeping, and they're rowing against the storm, and they're so upset because they think that this is going to be the end for them. And yet, through this time of adversity, Jesus was sleeping in the boat. And then he said, "Peace, be still," to the storm after they had awakened him. And so he just said, "Peace," and the storm ceased. Now, when we go through storms in life, it doesn't always cease. Sometimes there's layers upon layers and depth upon depth of our pain of what we go through. But it is a declaration of God's goodness that is greater than our circumstances, that is worthy of praise no matter what we face. Because, you see, we may not know the end of the story of following God's will until much later. Sometimes we may not know it until we get to heaven. But the important thing is to acknowledge God and thank Him for His leadership. I'm sure you remember the story of a lady who was born, I think, in about 1892, roughly. And she grew up in a clockmaker's home in the Netherlands. And so when Germany moved into that nation, she was involved, she and her family were involved in helping Jews to find a safe passage out of the country, which they did several hundred of these life-saving, very risky things to help the Jews out of the country. And yet, someone turned them in. And the Germans and the Netherlands police came and they arrested Corrie ten Boom and her family. And they shipped them off to concentration camps. And Corrie's father died, I think, 10 days after his arrest. And so it was Corrie and her sister, Betsy, as I recall, and they were in concentration camps, more than one, one after the other. And they noticed that the guards were not coming through, and they were skipping their dormitory or the building that they were imprisoned in. And Corrie's sister, Betsy, who was not in good health herself, in fact, she later died, but she told Corrie, "We need to thank God for the fleas." And Corrie did not understand that. But because of the infestation that was in their dormitory, the guards did not even want to go in there. And they would bypass that particular dormitory. And as a result, Corrie ten Boom was able to have Bible studies, was able to lead people to the Lord, and was able to get through that time of imprisonment. And soon her sister Betsy died. She her health had declined to that point. And due to a clerical error where the clerks made an error in, I think, her date of birth, she was released. And she couldn't understand why, but she was released. And every other lady in that age group went to their death. And you see, Corrie was able to thank the Lord for even the adversity that she was in. And she went on to have a great testimony and did a lot of good works and encouragement even after the war. You know, in the book of James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, that whenever you face trials of any kind, of your faith because it produces perseverance. And so when we choose thankfulness amid adversity, we open our hearts to God's ways, which are far beyond our understanding. Corrie ten Boom did not understand why these things were happening. God's promise to work in all things for the good to those who love Him. And so there's a biblical command for us to give thanks. There's giving thanks during adversity. But number three, there is cultivating thankfulness in our daily life. And this is really where it comes down, and as I heard this preacher say over and over again, that's where the rubber hits the road. That's right where we live. And so cultivating thankfulness in our daily life, it's not going to come easy. It will not come by chance or by just letting it happen. It comes by us making a point of being thankful. The call to gratitude is not reserved for special occasions, even though that is appropriate. It's not only reserved for big moments, and that's a good thing to celebrate. It is meant to infuse our daily lives. Giving thanks always means developing a habit recognized and appreciating God's presence and provisions in the ordinary routine life. Just living our lives. Just living our lives, as boring as they may be, but giving thanks for all of that. Giving thanks for what He is doing. I have found that it's good to have a time. My time is in the morning to read God's Word and to offer thanks. And so let me encourage you to cultivate a time in your life. And it helps us to notice the small blessings. It may have been the blessing of just getting a good night's rest or having food on the table or a kind word from someone, a warm meal, the beauty of creation, the comfort of fellowship. When we practice thankfulness daily in our hearts, we become more joyful and our lives reflect the light of Jesus Christ and to those who are around us. And so, as little kids, Ken, we used to sing, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." I'm not going to try to sing it, so y'all don't head for the doors. But that's the idea from a small age, is to learn to let our light shine, the light of Jesus Christ in our lives, to let our light shine before others so that they will know that we have a relationship with the Lord. And so we practice thankfulness daily. We reflect on the light of Jesus Christ to those who are around us. And that is the way of letting others see the Lord. Had the opportunity to go out at lunchtime. I was heading to a particular place. And you know how it is in Gunnersville sometimes, traffic comes to a stop. I could see the flashing red and blue lights up there, and so I did a U-turn and went another direction and ate at a different location. And during that time, at a place that I had not planned to go, I met a gentleman who really needed the Lord and had the opportunity to talk to him and to encourage him in the things that he was going through. So you see, God changed His will for my life by the traffic jam and the flashing lights. And so later on, I didn't do it at the time, but later on, I was able to, "Lord, thank You for the opportunity to be able to talk to this gentleman." So in the routines of our everyday life, thankfulness creates a legacy of faith. A legacy of faith is something that is a natural result of us being thankful. How can we cultivate this spirit? I think by starting each day with prayer, by keeping a gratitude journal, writing down the blessings that God has provided for us. Because you know, the devil he'll also write things in your journal. And they're not good things, they're not encouraging things. But what I try to do is to make a note of God's blessings and what He has blessed me with. And so think about that. Just jot down. When God answers a prayer, or when he helps you through a difficult time, or when he is closer than you've experienced, just jot it down and just say, on this day I was blessed and the Lord did this, that, or the other. Sharing with others what we are grateful for also helps us. By telling somebody what God has done for me that particular day. And so we have the biblical command to give thanks. Giving thanks in adversity, cultivating a thankfulness in our daily life. But number four, a thankful heart is a humble heart. Now we're not taught by this world to be humble. We're taught to be the best and the greatest and all of the other. But gratitude and humility are two important qualities that can bring us closer to God and to help us appreciate the blessings around us. The Bible offers many verses to remind us to be thankful for what we have and to stay humble. These teachings can guide us in our everyday lives, teaching us to find joy in the small things. Oh, we look for the big blessings. We all do. It's normal. But look for the little things that God does to help you along the way. Treat others with kindness. When we embrace gratitude and humility, we open our hearts to a deeper connection with God and to those around us. You know, humility is often misunderstood, but it is one of the most divine qualities that we can exhibit. And so the Bible teaches us that greatness comes from serving others, from surrendering ourselves. And when we choose humility, we free ourselves from pride and self-importance, allowing God and His grace to flow through us. And it reminds us that we are all equal in God's eyes. That's very important for the Christian, is to treat others with the deep understanding that everyone is equal in God's eyes. It's been said that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Psalm 103, verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." If you look, read through the Old Testament, it's interesting. They were always reminding themselves that God had delivered them out of slavery and out of bondage. And they would go back and recall and remind the generation after generation of God's goodness. Folks, God's been good to us. This year we're celebrating a great anniversary of our nation. We've been blessed to be able to live here in America and to be blessed with the blessings that we receive as a result. Psalm 118, 24, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." We acknowledge God for His goodness. Then number five, there's encouragement to practice gratitude. As we reflect on Ephesians 5, 20, let us remember that gratitude is a gift and it is a command. It strengthens our faith, and it blesses those who are around us. What more could we ask for in life? And so we are blessed because we are thankful for what God has done for us. If you read Romans chapter 1, you read some of the most descriptive and disturbing listing of what was going on in the world. And I will not express all of those things. Joel read the scripture a Sunday or two ago. But Romans chapter 1 expresses some deep, dark things. You say, oh yes, yeah, that's sin. That doesn't apply, that doesn't apply, that doesn't apply. And then yet, after that list and what God is going to do, the scripture, it's like the scripture pauses and says, neither were they thankful. And so thankfulness in God's eyes is very, very important. So whether in times of joy, times of trial, in the extraordinary or in the ordinary, let us give thanks always for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this scripture. Thank you for this encouragement that you give to us concerning something really simple, not always easy, but it's simple, that we should give thanks in everything. And so, Father, I just pray that with thankful hearts we close out this service and thank you for blessing us as a church, as a nation, as individuals who know Christ as Savior. And I just pray that you will help us to go from this place and see life in maybe a little different shade and thank God for what he does for us. For I pray it in Jesus' name, amen. Our invitation hymn this morning is number 479, Softly and Tenderly. And quite a number of years ago, Ken, when I received Christ as Savior, that's a hymn that was chosen. And it's a sweet hymn. It's a beautiful hymn. And if you have a need this morning, regardless of what it may be, just to maybe come for prayer, rededication, if you want to know the Lord as Savior, you want somebody to talk to, or if you want to join the church, we invite you to respond whatever your need may be as we stand and as we sing.
Seated. Thank you, Brother Paul, for sharing God's word with us. May we all have gratitude in our hearts toward God. So I encourage you in that. So right now we want to move toward our announcements. And the first one is actually a video. Right before that, Will, if we can show it. It is on the Annie Armstrong Mission Offering for North American Missions.
This is Andrew Mark.
And Petra.
Adil.
Adil, that's right. And we are your missionaries here in Montreal, Quebec. Thank you so much for your generosity and for your prayer that enables us to serve here and bring the kingdom of God to people who never heard about the gospel.
I am Troy Gauze. I want to thank you for giving to Annie Armstrong. It creates an outpost to be a gospel witness in this community. That's what a gift for Annie Armstrong does. It creates God-sized stories.
Hola, mi nombre es Oscar Ortiz. Soy el pastor de Iglesia Bautista Esperanza Eterna.
Yo soy Wendy Ortiz, la esposa del pastor Oscar, y estamos sirviendo y plantando en Río Grande, Puerto Rico.
Gracias por ser parte de la ofrenda de resurrección de Annie Armstrong. Porque ustedes dan a esta ofrenda, el evangelio es predicado y esparcido por todo Puerto Rico.
My name is Fred Weymouth, and my wife and I started The Fix a few years ago in Tappahannock, Virginia.
Thank you for giving to Annie Armstrong. When you give, the Lord opens up opportunities for people to come to know Him and to come out of the bondage of addiction.
I'm Jordan Adams. I'm a church planter who planted a church in West Lafayette, Indiana, trying to reach Purdue University. Thank you for giving to missions. Because of what you do, because of your gift, people have met Christ and their lives have been changed for eternity, and we've been able to plant a church. Thank you.